change, you got involved. Like Madonna did it right. She reinvented herself 14 times. That's why she had a long career. You know, like you've got to reinvent yourself. You know, so let's talk about sports. When you're the best athlete and you're like the guy and you're like one of the top 15 players, Draymond Green, he's my buddy. Draymond really worked on his game every offseason. You know, Ricky Rubio, the flashy point guard from Minnesota, if he developed his outside shot, he would have been a much bigger player. He had all the passing skills, the quickness, he's got everything. If instead of going to Ibiza and fucking chicks in the offseason, he worked on his 18-foot jumper, he'd be in the game. If you have ambition, your actions have to match that. And too many people are just like not putting in the work. Their mouth is way ahead of their fucking, you know, actions. Like, really? You're gonna be the greatest NBA player of all time? Why? Because you think you got a little handle on the weekends? You need to shoot 15,000 free throws before school every day.
That was one of the biggest wake-up calls of my life. I said the reason between rich people and poor people is they don't know real money from fake money. My mom and dad didn't. Good people, but they don't know that. So they spent it. And so today, you know, I have millions and millions and millions in gold and silver, and I also use debt. I don't use money. And guys like Dave Ramsey say live debt-free. And for 99% of the people, that's good advice. But if you're going to be really rich, you have to learn how to use debt as money.
Business. I have 5 companies now. We'll do 100 million this year. I started every one of those companies with no money. Zero money, man. Just hustle and grit and courage. I've called on people I didn't want to be with. I've done things I didn't want to do, okay? It is not about doing what you love. It's about doing whatever it takes to make your dreams a reality, to be closed and stay closed. If you're not closed on your product, if you're not buying your own product, why would you expect anybody else to?
It's about connecting the dots. I dropped out of Reed College after the first 6 months, but then stayed around as a drop-in for another 18 months or so before I really quit. So why'd I drop out? It started before I was born. My biological mother was a young, unwed graduate student, and she decided to put me up for adoption. She felt very strongly that I should be adopted by college graduates, so everything was all set for me to be adopted at birth by a lawyer and his wife. Except that when I popped out, they decided at the last minute that they really wanted a girl. So my parents, who were on a waiting list, got a call in the middle of the night asking, "We've got an unexpected baby boy. Do you want him?" They said, "Of course." My biological mother found out later that my mother had never graduated from college and that my father had never graduated from high school. She refused to sign the final adoption papers. She only relented a few months later when my parents promised that I would go to college. This was the start in my life. And 17 years later, I did go to college. But I naively chose a college that was almost as expensive as Stanford. And all of my working class parents' savings were being spent on my college tuition. After 6 months, I couldn't see the value in it. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life and no idea how college was going to help me figure it out. And here I was spending all the money my parents had saved their entire life. So I decided to drop out and trust that it would all work out okay.
My favorite stories is when JFK went to go visit the NASA Space Center and he saw a janitor holding a broom and he asked him what he was doing and the janitor replied, "Mr. President, I'm helping put a man on the moon." Purpose is that feeling that you are a part of something bigger than yourself, that you are needed, and that you have something better ahead to work for. Purpose is what creates true happiness. Every generation has its defining works. More than 300,000 people worked to put that man on the moon, including that janitor. Millions of volunteers immunized children around the world against polio, and millions of more people built the Hoover Dam and other great projects. And now it's our generation's turn to do great things. Now I know, maybe you're thinking, I don't know how to build a dam. I don't know how to get a million people involved in anything. Well, let me tell you a secret. no one does when they begin. Ideas don't come out fully formed. They only become clear as you work on them.
You go from infant to toddler, from toddler to teenager. Does a teenager operate the same way as a toddler? If a teenager, you give them the keys to the car and say, drive 50 miles an hour, what will they do? Drive as fast as they can, right? And that's what happens to entrepreneurs when they get in that state. If you don't understand this, you're gonna do the right thing at the wrong time. See, if you plant in the winter, it doesn't matter how much you believe or how hard you work, it's not gonna happen. So you have to understand the timing of what's going on. Both industries have a timing of growth and your company does. Many of you, this is not being offensive because I hope you feel my love for you. If you took the risk to start your own business, my respect for you is here because you're this percentage of the population and you employ everybody else. And if you're working in a company and you're not there yet, but you even have that aspiration, I respect you. I can tell you this because I've done this. I was a business operator for more than a decade. I worked my guts out and I was always stressed out because I was doing it all. And I would let certain people do things, but I'd always upset, criticize, they didn't do it well. And so I was trapped. I was in the founder's trap. In that trap, you can't grow because there's no leverage. The only way out of it is to start developing some people.
My family was still mad at me for not going to medical school. And now my wife was divorcing me because I lacked ambition. It looked like a reoccurrence of the same old problem. Once again, I was unable to live up to the expectations of others. But this time, I was not disappointed in myself for failing to be the person they thought I should be. Their dreams and my dreams were different. I would never confuse the two of them again. I had discovered things that I loved, the Sierras, Yosemite, the Pacific Ocean. These natural wonders brought me great joy and happiness, and would for the rest of my life. I had an interesting job programming computers and more money than I needed. For the first time, I was certain that I was going to survive in this world. A huge burden of fear had been lifted. I'll never forget that moment. It was a time for rejoicing. I bought the sailboat and lived on board, just me and my cat in Berkeley Marina.
I think everybody has great stories. Everybody had a lot of mistakes. Everybody have a lot of problems. But very few people listen to you. One day when you become successful, people listen to you, say, wow, you're great. I'm not that great. I was born in a normal family, and I'm not good at schooling. Of course, I tried to study hard, but as a boy, you know, my school was not that good at that time. So I failed looking for jobs, looking for joining university, joining good schools. But I never give up. And I think there's one thing I learned is that why you should have a chance to be successful. Everybody should get used to fail, but not get used to be accepted by other people. Why other people should help you? You should earn the right to be helped. So the thing I learned is that don't give up.
Work your ass off much better than I say, work your ass off. But that's what you believe. And two workouts a day was one of the things that you put into your life and the way that you lived to work your ass off. So should we talk about hard work?
Yeah, well, first of all, in training, I know a lot of people are always looking for shortcuts. And they buy all this kind of, buy into their, all this kind of programs, you know, 20 minutes a day, this, and you know, you eat this 3 meals a day and then you're perfect and all that stuff. There's no such thing as a shortcut. It's just that you have to work your ass off. And when I talk about working your ass off, I'm not only talking about bodybuilding. Yes, I was known that everyone always said he's overtraining. But the reason why I was training so much was because I wasn't really good with diets. So I burned off extra fat that way and got more defined the more I worked out. But I not only did the 5-hour workout, but in those days in bodybuilding, there was no money. So I worked on construction also, several hours every day. And I went to college several hours every day. And I was thinking about my next career as an actor, and I went to acting class several hours a week. So think about that.
So stick with them in everything you do. If you think you want to do what you think I've done, then do what I've done and stick with God. Number two, fail big. That's right. Fail big. Today's the beginning of the rest of your life, and it can be very frightening. It's a new world out there. It's a mean world out there, and you only live once. So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances professionally. Don't be afraid to fail. There's an old IQ test was 9 dots, and you had to draw 5 lines with a pencil within these 9 dots without lifting the pencil. The only way to do it was to go outside the box. So don't be afraid to go outside the box. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. Don't be afraid to fail big, to dream big. But remember, dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. So have dreams, but have goals. Life goals, yearly goals, monthly goals, daily goals. I try to give myself a goal every day. Sometimes it's just to not curse somebody out. Simple goals, but have goals. And understand that to achieve these goals, you must apply discipline and consistency.
Never, ever give up. There'll be times in your life you'll want to quit, you'll want to go home.
So many people that have really hit big have gone against the tide. But you have to have great confidence in yourself. You have to be the right person. There are very few people that can pull it off. But when you pull it off, it's great.
In order to be successful, and you people are well on the road to success, you have to find out what makes you excited, what makes you want to get up each morning and go to work. If you love what you do and dedicate yourself to your work, then you will gain momentum. You will gain that momentum. You have to. And each success will create another success. I always tell this to people, you have to know whether or not you continue to have the momentum. And if you don't have it, that's okay, because you're going to go on and you're going to learn and you're going to do things that are great. But you have to know about the word momentum. But the big thing, never quit, never give up, do something you love. When you do something you love, as a scout, I see that you love it. But when you do something that you love, you'll never fail. What you're going to do is give it a shot again and again and again. You're ultimately going to be successful. And remember this, you're not working. Because when you're doing something that you love, like I do, of course I love my business, but when you do something that you love, remember this, it's not work. So you'll work 24/7, you're gonna work all the time, and at the end of a year, you're not really working. You don't think of it as work. When you're not doing something that you like, or when you're forced into do something that you really don't like, that's called work, and it's hard work and tedious work. So as much as you can, do something that you love, work hard, and never, ever give up and you're going to be tremendously successful.
I went to the Wharton School of Finance, and in that school, I met a lot of people heading industry today and over the past, very smart people. But I've watched some of the people grow. I've watched some of the most incredible, brilliant students. And they didn't make it like other people made it because they didn't have that drive. They didn't have that never give up ability. I don't know if it's an ability or if you have it, just you can't quit. And I've seen people quitting. And if they would have held out longer, they would have been successful. I've seen it so much. I've seen some of the most brilliant people in the world that never made it because they were quitters. One of the most important things, never, ever quit. Never quit. They were just quitters. They would quit. They just couldn't take it. They couldn't whatever. One of the things about loving what you do is that it's not work, and therefore you don't quit automatically. It's a lot easier not to quit. But you can never give up.
I feel so strongly that the reason I'm here is I dream big dreams. I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible. I'm also living proof. This isn't a Hollywood movie. I come literally from the other side of the tracks. If you saw where I grew up and we took a picture of it, the neighborhood, the setting, you'd say it's impossible that someone could come from there and get here. But it is possible. And not to sound too trite, it's possible because we still live in a country where the entrepreneurial spirit is so alive and so well. And anyone in this country, if you dream big and surround yourself with great people and leave your ego at the door and share success with others and have a little luck along the way, you can do anything. But there will be people along the way, and I remember this, who will say to you, you know, you're dreaming too big. It's not possible. Those things just can't happen. Don't allow anyone, friend, family, acquaintance, teachers, whoever it is, don't allow anyone to tell you that what you are dreaming for yourself and your family is not possible. It is possible. Don't be one of those people 20 years from now are going to be walking around in a 9-to-5 job, miserable and angry and bitter because you let your dreams get away from you because you did not believe strongly enough in yourself and what was possible. Don't allow that to happen. This is an unbelievable time. And I can't encourage you enough to continue to think that things are possible and that your dreams can come true.
I got the idea to start Amazon 16 years ago. I came across the fact that web usage was growing at 2,300% per year. I'd never seen or heard of anything that grew that fast. And the idea of building an online bookstore with millions of titles, something that simply couldn't exist in the physical world, was very exciting to me. I just turned 30 years old, and I'd been married for a year. I told my wife, Mackenzie, that I wanted to quit my job and go do this crazy thing that probably wouldn't work since most startups don't, and I wasn't sure what would happen after that. Mackenzie, also a Princeton grad and sitting here in the second row, told me I should go for it. As a young boy, I'd been a garage inventor. I'd invented an automatic gate closer out of cement-filled tires, a solar cooker that didn't work very well out of an umbrella and aluminum foil, baking pan alarms to entrap my siblings. I'd always wanted to be an inventor, and she wanted me to follow my passion. I was working at a financial firm in New York City with a bunch of very smart people, and I had a brilliant boss I much admired. I went to my boss and told him I was going to start a company selling books on the internet. He took me on a long walk in Central Park, listened carefully to me, and finally said, "That sounds like a really good idea. but it would be an even better idea for someone who didn't already have a good job. That logic made some sense to me, and he convinced me to think about it for 48 hours before making a final decision. Seen in that light, it really was a difficult choice, but ultimately, I decided I had to give it a shot. I didn't think I'd regret trying and failing, and I suspected I would always be haunted by a decision to not try at all. After much consideration, I took the less safe path to follow my passion, and I'm proud of that choice. Tomorrow, in a very real sense, your life, the life you author from scratch on your own, begins. How will you use your gifts? What choices will you make? Will inertia be your guide? Or will you follow your passions? Will you follow dogma? Or will you be original? Will you choose a life of ease? Or a life of service and adventure? Will you wilt under criticism? Or will you follow your convictions? Will you bluff it out when you're wrong? Or will you apologize? Will you guard your heart against rejection? Or will you act when you fall in love? Will you play it safe? Or will you be a little bit swashbuckling? When it's tough, will you give up? Or will you be relentless? Will you be a cynic? Or will you be a builder? Will you be clever at the expense of others? Or will you be kind? I will hazard a prediction. When you are 80 years old, and in a quiet moment of reflection, narrating for only yourself the most personal version of your life story, the telling that will be most compact and meaningful will be the series of choices you have made. In the end, we are our choices. Build yourself a great story. Thank you and good luck.
Rich people don't sleep 8 hours a day. That's a third of your life. It ain't but 24 hours in a day. You cannot be sleep 8 hours a day. You can't live in LA and wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. The stock market been open 2 hours. They already making decisions about your life and your ass will sleep. The Bible says he who loves to sleep and the folding of hands, poverty will set upon you like a thief in the night. He who loves to sleep and the folding of hands, poverty will set upon you like a thief in the night. I'm going to ask you one question. I'm going to go. How many of you in here know somebody who loves to sleep? Who knows somebody that loves to sleep? Let me ask you something. Ain't they Poe?
I even began.
When something is important enough, you do it even though the odds are not in your favor.
First stage engine sequence initiated.
3, 2, 1.
4 years after starting, SpaceX rolled out its first rocket, an unmanned booster called the Falcon 1.
Falcon has cleared the tower.
But the first three test flights failed to reach orbit.
We are hearing from the Launch Control Center that there has been an anomaly on the vehicle.
When you had that third failure in a row, did you think, I need to pack this in?
Never.
Why not?
I don't ever give up. I mean, I'd have to be dead or completely incapacitated.
We have liftoff.
And this time around, everything worked.
Perfect.
You believe that your rocket will be the next American rocket to take an astronaut into space?
I believe that is the most likely outcome, yes.
There are people who've been in the rocketry business for decades,
yeah,
who say about you that you don't know what you don't know.
Well, I suppose that's true of anyone. How can anyone know what they don't know?
When critics say you can't do this, your answer to them is,
we've done it.
But SpaceX's lack of experience bothers some NASA legends like Apollo astronauts Neil Armstrong and Gene Cernan. They've testified to Congress that the Obama administration's drive to commercialize space could compromise safety and eventually cost the taxpayers.
You know, there are American heroes who don't like this idea. Neil Armstrong, Gene Cernan have both testified against commercial spaceflight in the way that you're developing it, and I wonder what you think of that.
Now is the time to overrule this administration's pledge to mediocrity.
I was very sad to see that, because those guys are, those guys are heroes of mine, so it's really tough. You know, I wish they would come and visit and see the hardware that we're doing here, and I think that would change their minds.
They inspired you to do this, didn't they?
Yes.
And to see them casting stones in your direction?
It's difficult.
Did you expect them to cheer you on?
Certainly hoping they would.
What are you trying to prove to them?
What I'm trying to do is to make a significant difference in spaceflight and make spaceflight accessible to almost anyone. And I would hope for as much support in that direction as we can receive.
All the time. But to me, failure is a huge part of success. That just means, okay, try a different way. When I don't get the result, I was like, okay, when I get bad results, failure, I call that, right? Okay? It's not mince words here. When I fail at something, I don't say I am a failure. I don't become my failure. I'm not the mistakes. I'm not the failures of my past. What I am is the resource and capabilities that I glean from my past, that I glean from the failure, that I learn from failing. When I take an action and don't get the result I want, I learn from that, I pivot, and I try again. That's an empowered way of looking at going through life.